Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello, beautiful people of Steelers Nation. Welcome to another beautiful sunny day here in the Berg. This is a new episode of All Steelers Talk. Find us on YouTube.com/AllSteelersTalk. I'm your host, Noah Schreckbein, joined every Tuesday and Thursday by my main man, Donnie Droon. Make sure to use our promo code at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. Like and share this video as always. Donnie, the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe you're starting to think about moving up in the NFL draft. Maybe you're starting to think about moving back in the NFL draft. And there's players all throughout the draft board, quarterbacks included, who seem to be changing positions. Something to keep an eye on here. It's Thursday. It's gorgeous outside. It's been raining for a whole week. Now it's totally fine. How you feeling, my friend?
Feeling good, man. 2 weeks until the draft, and I feel like we're at the all-time high smokescreen season, just in terms of what teams want to do and what teams, cover certain guys, you know, what teams might be looking to move up and this, and that. Now is the ideal time for teams and their personnel and their scouts to lie out the wazoo and try to really mask what they want to do, because the last thing you want is for everybody else in the world to know exactly what you are going to do. Unfortunately for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that hasn't exactly gone to plan the last couple of years with their draft crushes. So we'll see if 2022 is any different. I think it does help that they are picking at number 20, to where it's a little bit more difficult to kind of tell, who's going to be there or available at pick number 20 if they choose to sit there.
Yeah, I agree. Did you say that they have not had luck with their draft crushes in the last recent years?
I said they haven't done a good job of like masking who they
are. Oh, gotcha. I was going to say, because Najee Harris, you could go as far back as Terrell Edmonds have.
And Devin Bush.
Certainly, and Devin Bush have been draft crushes that they have executed on and that have, outside of one, have failed almost terribly. It's been a great time. Things are getting crazy, okay? And the smokescreen is the perfect transition into this, because it is true. We are smokescreen season. It's actually insanely boring. It's like the worst time. Do you hate this time of year or like that June to July?
Oh, dude. At least with like this time of year, you have something to look forward to. That's extremely exciting. Whereas that like June, July part, yeah, like training camp's coming up, but like, I don't know. I feel like for me, the NFL draft is like 10 times more exciting than like training camp is. And also like, but I also do kind of hate this time of year, because like right now, getting to the end of that time period to where like people are just overthinking everything. And like, we are overanalyzing the, you know what, out of certain players and like what teams want to do. Like, I remember like last year, like before Trevor Lawrence was drafted, the whole thing came out, like Sports Illustrated did like a big feature on him, to where they were like, oh, like he said he doesn't love football. Like, is this a character concern for Trevor Lawrence? And it's like, all right, well, are we really nitpicking about these kind of things? Like, come on. Like, come
People
on.
People freaking out. That's what it is. Right now, there's no free agency signings. Very bare minimum free agency signings. We've had as much the Steelers are possibly going to sign Tyrann Mathieu as we will ever need in our entire lifetime. Yep. Nobody's left on the board. The pro days are dimming down to basically nothing. It is just a ghost town in the NFL. And all we're doing is we're just sitting around thinking, all right, well, the NFL draft's in 2 weeks. What's going to happen during the NFL draft? The Steelers going to take this guy? The Steelers going to take this guy? Andrew Booth's going to fall. Kyle Hamilton's going to fall. Kenny Pickett's not even going in the first round. Malik Willis might go second, but he might go 14th. We don't have any idea. It's a fun yet awful time. Awful time. And it's even harder, I think, to just keep everything to a minimum. So that's the perfect way to jump right into some extreme rumors here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, according to NFL Rumors Twitter account, which, as crazy as it sounds, is correct once in a while, and like any recently, quite a good bit, have said the Saints and the Steelers have been most active to set up the framework for an NFL draft day trade. This could go both ways. This could mean the Pittsburgh Steelers are moving back. This could mean the Pittsburgh Steelers are moving forward. We don't know what's going to happen. What was your first thoughts when you saw the tweet pop up there on Twitter? And after the second of, okay, this is stupid, and then you really thought about it.
I think anytime you see a tweet or any relevant news like that, to where you see a team preparing to trade, if you're not picking high, that normally means you're trying to move up. Whereas teams in like the top five or the top 10, there's always a couple that are definitely looking to move down. But when you're picking at pick number 20 and you feel like there's a roster that could probably compete in the AFC right now if you add just a couple more pieces to what you've already done. If you're trying to read the tea leaves there, I feel like, at least from that tweet, they're trying to move up.
Yeah.
Now, will they be able to do it? I don't know. That's going to be tough because, as mentioned in that same exact tweet, the New Orleans Saints, who just so happen to have two first-round picks right next to each other, are absolutely gunning to move up and go get a quarterback. It's just a matter of which one and where they're going to be picking up.
So do you really believe Steelers, that?
I'm sorry?
I have a very hard time believing that the Saints are going to draft a quarterback. Like, I just don't think it – I don't understand how it makes any sense. If you just signed Jameis Winston to a two-year deal – I mean, I get the Mitchell Trubisky thing, but – Jameis Winston is a whole tier above Mitchell Trubisky. He has a lot more potential than Mitchell Trubisky has, and he's been there.
So I would agree, but you also have to understand Jameis Winston is not the future of that franchise, right?
Yeah, but it could be
7 to 10 years down the road. Like, he's not going to be the guy, correct?
I'm not. I mean, chances are. I'll say chances are. Nothing's a guarantee. Jameis Winston's got a lot of potential in the NFL. I mean, he came in with superstar potential. Has he lived out that superstar potential? No. But that does not mean that he can't reach it. I mean, he was having a good season last year before the torn ACL, and the Saints were winning.
So I do think he's a better quarterback than Taysom Hill. I will absolutely give you that.
My grandmother's a better quarterback than Taysom Hill.
Yeah, but can grandma also play tight end?
Well, no, but I didn't say she was better tight end than Taysom Hill.
Case in point being, Winston is not going to be the guy for the future, right? So when is the next time you are going to have two first-round picks in the top 20 to the point where you have so much ammunition that you can trade up probably into the top five if you really wanted to and go get a guy you deem to be a franchise quarterback? You're probably not going to get this opportunity again.
I mean,
why when that trade initially went down, when they traded with Philadelphia, it's like, okay, you don't make this trade to only make that trade. Like, the 2022 NFL draft class, at least in that mid-round area, is not that good for them to acquire another first-round pick. Another first-round pick for them to just sit there? Come on.
But, like, what if they're moving up for something else? What if they're not moving up for a quarterback?
What if they want
to build around Jameis Winston?
If they wanted to move up for a guy not playing the quarterback position, I feel like they would have been better off trading with another team as opposed to just grabbing another first-round pick from Philadelphia a couple spots away from where they were originally picking. I don't know. Like, for me, I'm just trying to evaluate where they are as a franchise. They don't have their guy for the future. They have two first-round picks. And that move, at least to me, screams that they're at least trying to make a move and go get a guy like Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis.
So I disagree with a lot of that, but I see. Mm-hmm. I agree with where you're coming from. I agree with the framework of it all and that is how the NFL operates, no doubt about it. But, I mean, okay. For one, I think that the Saints have more confidence in Jameis Winston than anybody's given him credit for. Dude went 5-2 last season. He had 1,100 yards, 14 touchdowns to 3 interceptions before he tore his ACL. That's a much improved Jameis Winston after a year behind Drew Brees, which it feels good. They don't have any weapons outside of Michael Thomas, which is a giant question mark right now. They lost their starting left tackle in Tyrone Armstrong. And they now have two draft picks where maybe they can move up and get an offensive lineman. It's not a guarantee that they're going to move at all and they could build around Jameis Winston. I just don't think – I think that the Steelers make more sense to move up than the Saints. I think that Saints have a good opportunity to – add pieces where if the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, I don't think it makes sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers to move up, but compared to the Saints, I mean, they're in a much more urgent need, I feel, than New Orleans. You know, if you're walking in the season with Jameis or Mitchell Trubisky, especially Jameis coming after off the year that he just had, you're feeling a lot better if you're the Saints than the Steelers.
So I do agree, but you almost have to think long term with this kind of thing. Jameis is 28. Like, Jameis will not be in New Orleans. If he's there with the Saints when he's 30, I'll be a little bit surprised. So you have to think long-term. Do you remember whenever the Chiefs traded up and went got Patrick Mahomes when they still had Alex Smith? And Alex Smith was a pretty decent quarterback in Kansas City, especially after they went and got Mahomes the last year before they went and shipped him off to Washington.
Yeah.
If you go Maybe. Up and you get a guy, if you go and get a quarterback, you're not pegging him to play immediately. That's why you have a guy like Jameis Winston. And I don't think Jameis Winston is this terrible quarterback to where, like, they're going to bench him, like, halfway through the year, and they're going to have, you know, whoever the quarterback is come through, you know. But I'm just saying that if there were ever a time for you to go get your next franchise quarterback, now's the perfect opportunity. Now's the time.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Do you think that it's a guarantee for the Steelers to be moving up? Or do you think that, I mean, I presented the whole, the Steelers could jump back into the first round. I'm riding with it heavy. The days that go by, the more confident I feel the Pittsburgh Steelers are about to make two first round picks. But it makes sense to move up.
Where I sit with the Steelers, and I've kind of like beat this drum throughout the entire offseason.
Yeah.
I think they've done a decent enough job covering their bases to where I feel like they shouldn't have to move up in the draft. I really don't. And I think you said that a little bit earlier in the podcast, whenever we were talking about the whole Jameis Winston and the Saints situation, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Steelers to move up, because who would they move up for? Right. There's obviously the quarterback situation, but like, it's such a wild card with guys like Willis and Pickett and where they might be at. The offensive line, I mean, we sat here on Tuesday and we both kind of agreed that, at least for the time being, it looks like they're okay, at least with the interior. And I just don't see them taking an offensive tackle in the first round, especially with Chooks and, you know, what you saw out of Dan Moore last season. Wide receivers, there's going to be like five or six taken in the first round. Like, I you don't really need to move up for one of those guys. Like, you're set on edge rusher. You don't like absolutely need an inside linebacker in the first round. Corner, I mean, if like Sauce Gardner starts like slipping down the boards a little bit, sure. Yeah. If Kyle Hamilton starts slipping a little bit down the boards, I'd absolutely go for it. But like, the examples of them where it makes sense for the Steelers to move up in the first round are very far and few in between.
So what about the situation? Like, at what point do you start thinking about it if you're the Steelers? Because they're not going to move up and go to two. Like, the Steelers are not looking to go draft Malik Willis at number two. They're not looking to jump the Carolina Panthers and pick Kenny Pickett at six. That's not going to happen. They're going to fall out of the top 10, and that's when they're going to start making phone calls. But at what point does it make sense? And at what point is it just like, okay, well, what, we should just push our luck here? Because there's – not a lot of teams. I mean, there's maybe three teams in that first 20 picks outside of the Carolina Panthers that you're like, oh, they could draft a quarterback. And they're big question marks. I mean, you have the Washington Commanders, which, if you just traded for Carson Wentz, why are you drafting another quarterback? That doesn't make any sense to me.
At least in the first round, at least this year, I agree.
Exactly. At least in the first round. It does not make any sense if you're the Eagles. I don't agree with the Eagles, especially after the trade that they just made. And the New Orleans Saints, I just made the argument that it's better to build around Jameis Winston than to go replace Jameis Winston. Again, I agree with your point about the Patrick Mahomes stuff, but at what point do you say, okay, we need to start making phone calls. The Steelers should start making phone calls. And then at what point do you say, okay, at this point, we're just going to wait it out and see what happens.
I really think they would have to have like a top three or a top five guy on their board, like, really fall. And I'm talking probably like outside of the top 10 for like Kevin Colbert to pick up the phone and be like, hey, like, we need to go get this guy immediately. The example everybody likes to use, and we already kind of brought him up already, is Kyle Hamilton. That I really feel like, okay, would you be upset if he's there at number 11 and you see the screen at the bottom flicker and turn to black and gold and you see Kyle Hamilton's name pop up?
I mean, no, but it somewhat depends on what the situation is, because right. Kyle Hamilton's a baller and I still believe he's the best player in this draft, but that's a lot to give up to move up. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers don't need to move up.
I agree. So, but you also have to remember too. So like that Devin Bush trade that happened a few years back.
Yeah.
They basically just gave up a third round pick. Obviously they swapped first round picks and then they gave up a third rounder for that year and the following year. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if you're getting a guy as capable as Kyle Hamilton is.
Oh yeah. At 11, dude, that feels good.
So hold on. Let me ask you this. Let me give you a couple names and you tell me if they would be worth the Steelers trading up if they're available in that like 12 to 13 pick area. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Jordan Davis.
No. Okay. Jordan Davis, as the days go on, Jordan Davis is becoming into my top five picks for the Steelers at 20, because I'm becoming more and more convinced that he's not going to go high as people expect him to, because he's not a three down defensive tackle. We're learning that more and more as time goes on. He doesn't have the body for it. And nobody takes defensive tackles that early. I mean, they used to, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, the defensive tackles that have the profile that Jordan Davis has have been far and few between. And
we do have they to are, but they still, he can't play three downs. He's never played a three down series at Georgia.
We do have to remember that Auburn's Derrick Brown did go in the top 10 just a couple years ago as well.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. The shift like just happened. Like, it used to be like Leonard Williams, I mean, Vita Vea, those guys. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, well, like, we get that there's a significant impact, but there's so much talent in this draft that why would we spend a top 10 pick on a guy that only plays two downs a series and isn't like Jordan Davis isn't rushing a quarterback. And in today's game,
he could,
but he needs to develop into that. And I think that there's a lot of guys that already have that. And I think Jordan Davis is good. I don't think Jordan Davis is going to be a bust. I think he's going to be a phenomenal NFL player. I just think that the talent is so deep in this draft that a guy like Jordan Davis is going to start sliding and people are going to ask why. And it's going to be because he's so big and so one-dimensional. He's got a ton of potential, but that frame is built for one thing, and the NFL will adjust that, but coaches know they have to adjust it.
All right, so we're all kind of in a consensus that like Willis and Pickett are going to be top 10 picks, right? Like at least around that area.
I mean, I believe so. Yes. Would I be surprised if they were not? Like, I think that I don't think that the Lions draft Willis. I don't think that happens. I think the Carolina Panthers might. I think that the Atlanta Falcons might, but I don't think the Lions are going to. Because I mean, they just said it the other day. We're going to build around Jared Goff for 2022. You're not. I mean, yeah, it's not great, but if you're the Detroit Lions, that makes a lot of sense. Like, go build your team, continue to tank. Jared Goff ain't winning your Super Bowl, so you might as well just keep it going. You know. So I don't know. I would say yes. We could assume yes, but
is there any other guy that comes to mind to where if they're available, the Steelers wheel and deal their way? Like
to go get
eight
them
picks.
Oh man, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Like I don't. Which brings the whole other side of the argument. Like people are gonna look at me crazy because I'm gonna keep pushing this. But it makes a lot of sense for the Pittsburgh Steelers to have two first round picks, and all they got to do is like give up a third and maybe their first next season. And that might sound crazy. It might really sound crazy, and people are going to say, why would you give up that to go get so-and-so, whether it's Desmond Ridder or Malik Willis? But if you could take Malik Willis at 20 and come back into the first round and draft a safety like Daxton Hill, are you upset about that? Like, are you saying, oh, well, we need our first-round pick next year? Like, no, you hope your first-round pick next year is like 27. You're not expecting it to be worthy of a Daxton Hill.
My only concern would be, would a team picking at the tail end of the first round want to take a Steelers second round pick knowing it's going to be closer to the tail end of the second round than it is almost like an extra like first round pick? Like, do you get it? Like, instead of like an early second round pick, it's more of like that like later second rounder.
Yeah, I'd say a second rounder would be harder to wheel and deal. I think giving up next year's first and your third this year makes a lot of sense. Like, and at that point, it's basically a second round pick and you're feeling pretty good and you don't need anything next year. You know, think about it. Think about what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done this offseason to say we're in a good position for 2023. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe that they need a late first round pick. I mean, it's good to have them, but if you could get two this year in a draft class that people feel very good about, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense to me.
Maybe the Lions at pick number 32, because they do pick two picks later in the second round again.
I'm saying the Tennessee Titans. Who's the pick before the Titans?
Buffalo at number 25.
That would be my target zone. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's where I'm aiming. 25. To come back in at 25. And because at that point, you can make one of two options. You could say, okay, we're going to take Desmond Ridder or Malik Willis, or they're both going to be on the board and we're going to draft a position player, likely defensive back, and we're going to move back in right above the Tennessee Titans, who are the next team to need a quarterback, and we're going to draft either Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder. I think that that's – it doesn't – look, again, it's not what I would love to happen. It just – that's what I believe could happen for the Steelers.
Yeah, that, I think the tough thing would be trying to talk out of – talk a team out of giving up the opportunity to draft a guy with the possibility of adding on that fifth-year option, because that is certainly something – that a lot of teams do covet, and that's why first-round picks are partly so valuable, is the ability to have that fifth-round tender on a guy if they choose to exercise it. Obviously, you know, players cannot pan out like they should. Obviously, players can play so great to where after the third year, they're already on a new contract. You really don't have to worry about that. But like, just in terms of control and like what teams want to be able to do, not even like on the field, but like off the field, you know, just in terms of salary cap-wise, it'd be really difficult to convince a team, at least in my eyes, to drop down almost an entire round. Granted, the extra draft capital would probably make up for it. And then also forego the opportunity to, like I said, give up that fifth year option. I feel like it's a very valuable asset. And you're going to have to put together a pretty sweet package deal in order to jump back up into the bottom of the first round.
So I have to talk to a Bills guy, and I'll find a Bills guy to talk to. But I want to know if the Buffalo Bills need a first-round pick. Like, if they have a gap that's that glaring that they have to say, oh, we need to make this pick at 25. Because if they don't, and again, like, I don't have that knowledge, but I'm sure somebody who covers the Bills does, they need that pick. If not, why? Who cares? You know, the Bills are already a Super Bowl team. Their team is pretty well-rounded.
Yep.
I wouldn't, to me, from an outsider's perspective, I'm okay with moving out of the first round if it gives me a first-round pick next year, if it allows me to build for the future and get two guys for a position that maybe we'll need in a year or so. And again, I don't have those answers, but I would like to know that before anything happens. Let me ask this. Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
No, you're good. I was just looking like in that theoretical scenario to where the Steelers did move up with the Bills, and like let's say the Steelers did give them that second round pick, Buffalo would be picking at pick number 52 and 57 in the second round. It's only like five or six picks apart from each other. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could probably jump back up into the early parts of a second round and try to get another guy with that capital.
The early second, I don't know if that would get it done. That would be the thing. I don't know if that would get it done. Yeah. It's a big if. It's a lot of ifs. And honestly, talking Pittsburgh Steelers, this is the craziest thing we've ever talked about. But
yeah,
I think it could happen. All right. Let's jump into – Nathan's having already jumping into the Kenny Pickett talk, so let's jump into the Kenny Pickett talk. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been linked to Kenny Pickett. Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft, whatever, .0, came out. 40, Kenny Pickett slides to 20. Pittsburgh Steelers can't pass him up. That's literally his reason, is the Pittsburgh Steelers cannot pass up Kenny Pickett if he slides to 20. I don't know. I think there's a part of me that says the Pittsburgh Steelers could pass up on Kenny Pickett if he slides to 20. I have a couple of reasons behind this, but when I say that first, what are your thoughts on my thoughts?
it'd be really hard for him to pass up on him. Like they could, but it'd be very hard. And like I'm not talking with like Pitt rose colored goggles on right now. Like I really do not care about the fact that he played a Pitt and he's a hometown kid and they got to watch him in their own backyard. Like I put no stock in that whatsoever. I just think, and I've been very adamant about this, and it feels like the NFL is kind of trending towards that same way. If you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, you got to swing for defenses. And how a lot of the league looks at Kenny Pickett is they look at him as a very safe guy who's capable of starting next year, but like really does not. It feels like he's closer to his ceiling at the moment than he is at expanding his potential. Whereas a guy like Malik Willis, if he develops, he's looking like a top five quarterback in the league. Obviously, there are leaps and bounds that young man needs to make in order for that to happen. But if you're going to take a quarterback in the first round, you're swinging for defenses. You want to hit that home run. Kenny Pickett is not a home run.
I agree.
He's a damn good quarterback.
Yeah.
He had a lot of success last year at Pitt. He's going to be a first-round pick, and I think he'll be – every time I watch him, I just get these, like, Alex Smith vibes to where, like, he's not going to, like, lose you football games, but he's also, like, not going to be this, like, great, like, transcending quarterback like we've seen other guys coming to do, like, which isn't a bad thing either. That is not a bad guy or a bad thing to try to emulate at all. I just think if you're the Steelers and you're looking for a quarterback for the next 10 years – and if you're placing bets on somebody to, you know, try to be that next guy, quote unquote, it's got to be somebody else other than a guy like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, and granted, Alex Smith at pick 20 is a steal because Alex Smith turned into a starting quarterback throughout his entire career. Not everybody turns into Patrick Mahomes, and you can win Super Bowls without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you look at some of the Super Bowls, our quarterbacks who have gone to the Super Bowl, Alex Smith included, Jimmy Garoppolo included, Rex Grossman included. There are names.
Trent Dilfer, yep.
Trent Dilfer, quarterbacks win football games just by not losing football games. I think Kenny Pickett's a good quarterback, and I think he's a day one starter for whatever team drafts him. Just looking at how the Pittsburgh Steelers have operated over the last 2 months, it does not feel as if there's a mutual interest. Every time you talk to Kenny Pickett, it kind of seems as if he's brushing off Steelers questions, as if we're wasting our time asking those Steelers questions. That's just the vibe that you get. And then the other way around, you look at the track record of the Pittsburgh Steelers and you could say, oh, well, they're here every day. They've seen him every day at practice. Yes and no. They have seen him every day at practice, but they necessarily haven't. It's not like Mike Tomlin stands outside every single day and goes and watches Kenny Pickett throw. That doesn't happen. Right. Like, they need to do their evaluations on him as much as everybody else. And I get Mike Tomlin and Pat Narduzzi are like best friends. And a scouting report from Deuce is all Mike Tomlin might need to know. But to not bring him in for a personal visit and to just say that he talked to Matt Canada, talking to Matt Canada means nothing to me. Like, if you were like, oh, he talked to Brandon Hunt, I'd say, oh, okay, well, that's a good conversation to have. I'm glad that they had that conversation. They met with them at the NFL Combine, but again, it seemed as if they just blew it off. And it feels like there's so many other quarterbacks that they're more interested in. Let me ask this. If Desmond Ridder and Kenny Pickett are sitting there at 20, who do you think that the Steelers take?
I think they would take Pickett. I think they like Ridder because, one, he has the tools to be a good quarterback in the NFL. But more than anything, at least in my thought process, they like him because he's probably going to be there.
Yeah.
It's really easy to not like a player if they're not going to be there. You can say whatever you want about Kenny Pickett because Kenny Pickett probably isn't going to be there at 20, so you really don't have to worry about that scenario. But say Pickett and Ridder there at 20. I think Pickett's the guy, and to be really honest, I don't think that conversation or that debate within the Steelers war room would be very extensive.
Oh, see, I totally disagree with that. I think that Desmond Ridder has a higher upside maybe not super higher, maybe not known, maybe not a known higher upside, but I think that he carries himself better than anybody in this entire draft. He's already impressed so many teams to the point where like people at some point were like, oh, maybe he's a top 15 pick. Like Desmond Ridder doesn't have the talent to be a top 15 pick. Kenny Pickett does. I don't think the Steelers want somebody to come in and be a day one starter. I think they want Mitchell Trubisky to be the guy this season. Mm-hmm. So Kenny Pickett kind of pushes that. And to this point right here, hometown hit ticket sales. The Pittsburgh Steelers by no means want the quarterback controversy that they will have. Do you know how upset people were? Mike Tomlin hated talking to the media last year. And he hates talking to the media all the time. But he hated talking to us because he knew somebody somewhere was going to ask about Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph. And if anybody thinks that they're not going to be asked constantly about whether or not Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter, that's all anybody's going to care about. That's way too much pressure on a dude to come into the NFL in a plan that will work. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers could develop somebody to turn into something great, and they understand that, and they don't want that pressure. So I think if that both of them are there, they look at the option to just say, okay, we want the higher upside and not Kenny Pickett. And also the grit or the lack of pressure that comes with guys like Kenny Pickett.
So, like, I agree with a lot of the things you just said, but I also really don't think the Steelers put stock in, like, what everybody else thinks. And, like, to go back to the comment that somebody had put in the chat about like the hometown kid translates to like ticket sales and jerseys and all that good stuff. It absolutely does. But at the end of the day, like it's not really putting that much more money into Steelers' pockets. I mean, how many unofficial sellouts have the Steelers had throughout the last couple of years? I mean, like, yeah, I don't think they're stressing over ticket sales. I don't think they need to sell more tickets. I just think the older season ticket holders for the Steelers need to give up their licenses and their seats so the younger crowd can come in and actually attend those afternoon games, attend those Thursday night games, those Monday night games. A lot of the people don't normally like to go to, at least to the people that have had those tickets for like 40 plus years, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the Steelers always say that there's like a sellout, and then you just see empty seats, not everywhere, but like you do see some empty seats. It's like, okay, well, if they belong to said family for like 30 years and they're an older, what's the probability they're going to get up early in the morning, make the trek to Pittsburgh, go tailgate the entire day, and then want to wait in traffic at 8:30, 8 o'clock, 7:30, around that area, and then drive whatever distance amount home and then go get ready for work? Probably not very high, right?
I mean,
I just think there's not a whole lot of stock to be put into the hometown kid and the like season ticket sales, jersey sales, wherever you put it. And also, I don't think there's a whole lot of stock in whatever quarterback controversy like would be had. The easy way to fix that is to make Mitchell Trubisky the starter from week 1 to week 17. If Trubisky is being booed, it's because he's playing bad, not because Kenny Pickett's behind him, not because Malik Willis is behind him, but because he's playing bad. And I don't think whoever is behind him would change the fact that he would be booed off of Heinz Field at halftime or at the end of the fourth quarter.
I don't think he'd be booed off, but I think all summer long and anytime Mitch made a mistake, the pressure would be so, like, imagine if Kenny Pickett has a good preseason. He comes in here and he balls out in the preseason, and Mitchell Trubisky's not balling out because he's the starter and he only plays a quarter of football compared to Kenny Pickett's three quarters. The pressure, as soon as that week one, I'm not saying he'd get booed, but I mean, what if he comes in week one and loses, and then week two he throws an interception on the first drive? That's not enough to give up on a quarterback by no means.
No.
But in the eyes of fans, and some fans, not all fans, but in the eyes of some people, that will be enough. And I think the pressure will just be there. So that, I think it will play – I think it plays more of a mental toll, and the Pittsburgh Steelers don't want that mental toll on their quarterback.
Yeah, but, like, just a couple weeks ago, we were laughing and applauding Mike Tomlin for saying that they don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Like, they have their own business structure. They do things how they do it. They do things the quote-unquote the Steelers way. Like – and I'm going to be real. I'm going to be really honest. If I'm Mike Tomlin, or if I'm Kevin Colbert, or whoever's going to be the general manager next year, it probably looks like Brandon Hunt or Omar Khan. I could give a flying you know what if people are booing my quarterback, because we are committed to Mitch Trubisky. We got another guy in college, first or second round pick, wherever he's drafted. That guy is going to sit. That guy is going to sit, no matter
what. But it's not Mike Tomlin. I'm not talking about Mike Tomlin. I'm talking about the mental toll on Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. You don't have two quarterbacks that could win there if they're constantly being told that they're not good enough or they should be there. And then, like, if Kenny Pickett's the backup and all he's being told all the time is how he should be there, it's boosting his confidence until he gets into the starting lineup and he's not ready yet, or the offensive line's trash again or whatever. That's a lot of pressure. And at the same time, you're completely wasting anything you have with Mitchell Trubisky, because the pressure on Mitchell Trubisky will be insane.
But Trubisky came to Pittsburgh knowing they were probably going to draft a guy, right?
Yeah. And so have that competition. But he should win that competition, correct?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So if he wins that competition, you're telling me that that's it? Like, everybody's just going to be like, okay, well, that's it.
So,
man,
if he wins the quarterback competition, what extra pressure is going to weigh on him with a rookie quarterback behind him?
The pressure from everyone else, the preseason pressure, the fact that Kenny Pickett will have – it's not stop. It makes total sense.
So we agreed
multiple times Rudolph's career has been ruined because of people who have immediately given up on Mason Rudolph. You're telling me that if Mitchell Trubisky does not get it done from the second he steps on the field, or Kenny Pickett gets it done in the preseason, but he gets it done in the second half of games in the preseason, like Dwayne Haskins did last year, you're telling me that
Dwayne Haskins fumbled his one attempt.
His one attempt, but his two games
in the preseason.
But his two games before that, people were literally calling for Mason Rudolph's head to be the third string quarterback. It's all anybody wanted to talk about, because Dwayne Haskins was playing well in the fourth quarter. Kenny Pickett's going to play really well in the third and fourth quarter of games.
So the thinking behind Pickett not being in Pittsburgh is the pressure, right? Like, we know this guy can play right away, right?
That's part of it. Yes.
Okay. So what would be the difference between Pickett playing well in the preseason, sitting behind Mitch Trubisky, and Desmond Ridder playing well in the preseason, sitting behind Mitch Trubisky? Because there should not be a difference, right?
No. But
so how much does that factor into taking him? Because I don't think that should factor in it.
I don't think it's the main factor, but in the argument of the hometown hero adds pressure, I feel as if it's a legitimate argument to be made, and one the Pittsburgh Steelers will be thinking of.
I do agree that, like, that probably does factor in it a little bit, but, like, at the end of the day, I don't think that should really factor in significantly to whether or not you should take a guy there. Because, like, look, if you're sitting there debating a quarterback there at number 20, and you're like, oh man, we'd love to take this guy, but if we take him and he does well in the preseason, and Mitchell Trubisky is not playing like we thought he would, do we really want to put pressure on him? It's like, no.
He could play fine in the preseason.
You take the best quarterback available, or the best quarterback you think is going to be there long-term for you, right? Whatever else, you worry about it later. You deal with it.
I agree. Which is the other side of my argument, that I think that they view Desmond Ridder with a higher upside. I think Kenny Pickett has an immediate upside, but I think Desmond Ridder is impressing teams enough to say that he has a higher upside in the league. That being said, I think Desmond Ridder's upside is Jalen Hurts. But NFL teams don't seem to agree with me on that one, because Jalen Hurts is not a first-round quarterback. Some people believe Desmond Ridder is. I don't know. There's a lot of people arguing about Mitchell Trubisky here in the draft. Here's another question, which we're going to touch on later, but Matt Corral seems to be tossed in here quite a bit these days, and it has to be asked. If he is there at 20, Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis are gone, is it a valuable pick to take Matt Corral in the first round?
I would much rather them move back as far as possible in the first round if they're really set on taking Corral. Him at 20, especially with Ridder still being there in that hypothetical. I mean, That'd be a really tough ticket to sell. And like that's like if I'm covering the Steelers and they go Corral at 20 and I'm jumping on that conference call 5 minutes afterwards, like you were going to be, I'm asking questions, bro. I'm asking a lot of questions about what happened with the Desmond Ridder hype train. I'm asking, why do you think Corral is the guy there at number 20? Have you always wanted Matt Corral? Was this something you just thought of spur of the moment because you couldn't think of anything else you wanted to do? Like, I would have a lot of questions. And I know Derek Bell.
Yeah. Derek Bell would lose his mind.
Even more than me.
Yeah, Derek Bell would lose his mind. People just think that Corral has an upside. And people, you have to remember that at one point, Corral was considered the best quarterback in this draft. Like, before the ankle injury, maybe mid-season, people were talking about Matt Corral like he's going to be the first or second pick in the draft. I don't know. I don't have an answer there because we didn't get to see Matt Corral shine in the areas where I'd like to see him shine. And you needed to see that in the combine, and you need to see that at his pro day. Because during his tape, Ole Miss's offense is so simple that it's hard to get a read on how developed this guy is. That being said, he does fit the framework of the Pittsburgh Steelers want a guy to just compete but not necessarily win the starting job in year one. And I don't think that he slides to pick two.
So why are we forgetting about Carson Strong, who just visited, had a top 30 visit with the Steelers, by the way?
I mean, Marcus Jones had a top 30 visit with the Steelers, man. It doesn't mean that they're going to pick him in the first round. Carson Strong is not going to Pittsburgh. He's not going to Pittsburgh. People, I don't understand how the media has just made a thing of Carson Strong, like somehow being on everybody. It's like, oh, Carson Strong's visiting this team. Carson Strong's visiting this team. Carson Strong's to the Steelers. Okay. Like people are doing their homework on the fourth round quarterback. Good for them. Like people are going to want to back him.
There's a lot of debates going on between quarterbacks, and I think that's a really fun part of this process. I don't think there's like one person who weighs a terrible talent Sundays that would like be heading straight to NFL.com and like trying to get like their size in the Carson Strong jersey if they took him.
No.
That would be a universally hated pick. And I don't remember the last time the Steelers had such a universally hated pick like that.
I would love, so everybody in the chat, everybody who watches this later, whatever, I want to know. If the Steelers picked Carson Strong, would you be more or less upset with them than if they picked Sam Howell? Because that seems to be the two names that everybody hates and nobody wants. Well, one of them might end up the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. If I had to guess, there's like almost a 0% chance Carson Strong ends up in Pittsburgh. That being said, I would like to know who you would dislike more, because Carson Strong's bad, man. Bad. Not a good quarterback. All right. Let's talk about some best and worst case scenarios for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But first, a little word here from our boys over at Manscaped. With the first pick in the NFL draft, Ball Saxonville has decided to pick Manscaped to stock up their D. Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, have sponsored us to make sure you don't get booed out of the bedroom like Roger Goodell. Support us and head to manscaped.com and use the exclusive code ALLSTEELERS at checkout for 20% off plus free shipping. Donnie, I texted you this today. I'm very excited about it. We might have to go all out with a little Manscaped stuff because Manscaped's hooking us up for something that I will announce tomorrow with Derek. Eyeball emoji. Either way, I got my beautiful shirt here. Your shirt's on the way. It is. We love to see it.
We do.
Everyone was asking why combine athletes ran the 40-yard dash so fast this year. Well, a big reason is because of the Lawnmower 4.0. This elite electric trimmer now serves over 4 million men worldwide. That's a lot of aerodynamic pants potatoes. Because of their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology, your nicks and snags will be reduced. After trimming, your package will look as big as what the Seahawks got in return for Russell Wilson. Rumor is Kenny Pickett got trimmed up with Manscaped and is skyrocketing up the draft boards. Small hands who? I want you to look in the mirror. Do you see any nose or ear hairs dangling? Look, fellas, the ladies out there think that long nose hair is a major turnoff. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer is your solution. Why not use the best tools for the job here? Their performance package also comes with the anti-chafing performance boxer briefs, a travel bag, the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver, which is a spray-on toner. They have also launched some other amazing hygiene products for men, ranging from cologne-infused body wash, which is fire, to two-in-one shampoo and aluminum-free deodorant. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS. Kalen Barnes definitely shaved some time off his 40. You want to know why? Because he used Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALLSTEELERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and just use the code ALLSTEELERS. It's time to find your diamond in the rough with Manscaped. All righty. Let's talk about worst and best case scenarios for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, we just went through a lot of quarterback talk, and many believe that that will be the pick in the first round. So I'm going to toss that one out there. What is your best case scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick 20?
Probably Jordan Davis having a video leaked of him with like a mask over his face.
Laramie Tunsil 2.0.
Yep. And then homeboy slides right to them at 20. Nah.
There's no way. Let me ask this question. This will show us how up to date we are, how hip. Somebody called us cops one time on here. Get out of here. Do you think that I think it was Black and Yellow Texas Steel, to be honest with you. Do you think that a video of somebody ripping a bong would make them slide in the draft?
I do.
Yeah?
I do.
Really?
Yep.
How far?
I don't think quite as far as Laramie fell. I don't think quite as far as Laramie fell, just because like marijuana now is like a little bit more like universally accepted and stuff, but you still have to remember like who's making the decisions and pulling the strings, and they look like you and me, except they're like 40 years older than us.
True.
And I just don't think the stigma around that will ever change.
See, like, I agree with that, but at the same time, I think that it, depending on who the player was, like Jordan Davis would be an interesting case, because at that point you could make the argument like, he wasn't like a guaranteed first round pick. You know, but like Sauce Gardner coming out with a bong the day of draft day, chances are he's not sliding more than five picks max. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, He's not even moving. Not even moving. They're not even thinking
that,
about
that
it.
Might the boost other the time stock, of that, TBH.
It could boost his stock. On the other side of that, Thibodeau out of Oregon, he'd be gone. They'd slide him right off the draft board because he's already got, you know, personality issues, if that's what you want to call it. So I think that it does depend on the player and the situation. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, it'd be interesting. Not saying that I hope it happens. I think it would be interesting. All right. Let's get back. Jordan Davis ripping a bong, picture came out, best case scenario.
Let me propose this then.
Yeah.
All right. Jordan Davis played where at Georgia? Along the front four, right?
Yeah.
Along the front four. Where did the Steelers pick? 20.
Do you have a math equation here that somehow Jordan Davis is going to...
420? What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. So maybe the gods are in our favor here. So Jordan Davis ripping something aggressive.
Nah. So realistically, I think I would really like the Steelers to trade back, whether it's like three or four picks, and still potentially have a guy slide to them. There's a lot of talk of like Linderbaum sliding out to around the 20 pick area. Any like wide receiver for whatever reason falling would be cool. Maybe guy like Stingley falls that far. Maybe like Kyler Gordon is still available. I think if they were to pick up some much needed extra draft capital, especially early on the draft, by just trading down a couple picks while still getting a quality player that can contribute right away, I think that would be my ideal scenario.
So I think my ideal scenario is Kyle Hamilton falling to 20, but I don't think that that's going to happen. So my new ideal scenario is somewhat along the lines of yours, but in a different fashion. I'm going to ride the trading back in hard. My best case scenario would be the Detroit Lions pass up on Malik Willis. Kenny Pickett goes to Carolina at 6. Malik and Desmond Ridder are sitting there at 20. The Pittsburgh Steelers go, sweet, we want Malik Willis. Grab him. Then they say, hey, we want to trade back up because we want a defensive back and or a wide receiver that we know is going to be a stud. So this would be my best case scenario. Assume that a couple of safeties are gone, but Lewis Seen, Daxton Hill still on the board. They move back into the end of the first round. They grab a wideout, somebody like George Pickens, maybe Christian Watson, depending on how you feel about him. Maybe Jameis Williams or Garrett Wilson somehow slide their way back there. Trey Burks, that's another one. Treylon Burks, excuse me. And then they keep their second round pick and they get a safety in number two. That would be my ideal situation for them in the first round. I think it addresses everything that they need immediately. They head into the season, they feel really good about it. Maybe I'm playing a little too much Madden, but I feel kind of good about that one.
The wild thing with the NFL draft is that, like, you never really know what's going to happen. Like we can sit here and try to, like, predict this, like, wild sequence of what's going to happen in the first 32 picks. I really feel like that's sarcastic, by the way, because I don't know.
No way.
Big shout out to
Luka. All love to Luka. All love to everybody.
Oh, no, definitely, but I don't know. I just, like, I sometimes try to sense sarcasm way too much, especially, like, whenever you're reading it. And, like, you can't read facial expressions, you feel?
No way, bro. If Black and Yellow Texas Steel thinks we're feds and they're still here, they're rocking. So we're rocking with you. We appreciate you as much as you appreciate us.
No, that's why we hop on here every week. That's why we do sick giveaways whenever we can, you feel? Like,
yeah, facts. All right, so what were you saying?
I completely lost my train of thought. Fantastic. No, sorry. So the NFL draft is very unpredictable. So I feel like a lot of what you said, like, isn't entirely out of the realm of possibilities, but I don't know. Crazier stuff has happened, man. Like, crazier stuff has happened and then it will continue to happen.
I agree. So speaking of crazy things that could happen.
Oh, geez.
What is your Pittsburgh Steelers worst case scenario here?
The Steelers staying at number 20 and seeing the likes of Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Desmond Ridder be drafted in front of them and then panic like they have shown to do.
Yep.
And take Sam Howell at 20. that will be.
I knew you were going to take mine.
I wouldn't do the show after that. I really would not do the show after that.
I mean, we're going to have to do the show after that because I'm going to need that. It's going to be you and I Derek a because. Both of you are. I'm gonna need both of those reactions.
Fireworks. The Steelers draft Sam Howell. You get me and Derek on a podcast immediately that night, and fireworks, bro. Like
it could be bad. We're gonna have to hit the little "this is explicit" button. It's gonna be bad. Mine's the same thing. That's the worst. You could do anything else if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anything. You could draft a wide receiver way too early. I mean, heck, you could go take a running back. If they went and drafted a running back, Kenneth Walker, in the first round, I'd say, wow, that's a terrible pick. Still better and more useful than Sam Howell will ever be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're bringing Sam Howell in to do is to be a backup quarterback and hope that he turns into Baker Mayfield. And those comparisons are terrible. Just go get Baker Mayfield. Like, just wait till he's released. Go get him. He's already proven.
Baker wants to come to our jobs and boo us while we're doing it, by the way.
That would be awesome. That would be – no. You don't know what I saw? I saw his dog being the comfiest, most terrifying-looking dog of all time for 45 minutes or however long the podcast was. I was nervous for that thing the whole time. I'm like, will somebody touch it just to make sure it's fine? Like, it's really freaking me out. But, yeah, there's – Sam Howell is Baker Mayfield 2.0. He looks like him. He plays like him. He's not mobile at all. I mean, by the time the draft rolls around, he'll probably have a third round grade for most teams. And if you take that in the first round, especially with a team that is hunting for a Super Bowl still, I mean, you just messed up.
Yeah.
You got nothing there. You did nothing positive for yourself. Let me ask this though. How could they say they went Sam Howell? What would their second pick need to be? To get back on track, not justified, because you can't justify it, to get back on track.
A clone of Troy Polamalu. Like, I'm talking a literal clone, not a guy who plays like him. Like, go get his DNA and recreate him. And that's the only way that would ever make up for that draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, yeah. I do like that draft right there, TBH.
Willis at 7, Corral at 20. Corral worries me, but I like it. I don't like moving up for 7. Is this real?
I think it is, yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know this.
He got like family that. Like throughout the league too. Like I just found out like whenever he was giving his Hall of Fame like commencement speech that like his uncle coached for the Vikings. Like I had no clue about that.
I didn't really either, but there's a lot of guys like that. Like I forget Marvin Harrison's son plays for Ohio State. Which if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers next season, I don't care what I got to do. Marvin Harrison's junior is my pick. I don't care. Nice, right? And Marvin Harrison's son, so it doesn't matter. I agree. Sam Howell can't be there. I think next week we do a little bit of a mock draft. We get the people involved.
I do think we do a mock draft next week, bro.
And I think that's what we should do here. So everybody, we're gonna post something in our community page on our YouTube. So make sure that you check that out. We're gonna be looking for your mock drafts. So send us your mock drafts, whether you use the PFF simulator or you just do an offhand Steelers mock draft. Send it to us in the community page. We'll post something there for that you could post underneath it. We'll go through them next week. We'll tell you our thoughts on them, so make sure that you're on. And maybe, you know, we'll give Black and Yellow Steel and some other people some terrible towels who sent in some good mock drafts. So let us know. We will be back. I will be back tomorrow with Derek to talk more NFL draft, more Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Be a friend to tell a friend to use our promo code for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Like this video, share this video. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.